Then let us join our hearts together and move forward into a time of prayer and meditation. And before we do that, I almost messed up. Somebody on the 31st has a birthday. Look at him looking down. His face went instantly red. Y'all turn around there and look at Richie. A lot of you, everybody. And on the count of three, let's wish him a happy birthday. Your face reds, Richie. One, two, three. Happy birthday, Richie. Thought you was going to slip by, didn't you? Fooled you. Let us join our hearts together. And if you have that unspoken request too great upon your heart, just that hand up and down and we'll communicate with the Lord. Thank you. Let us join our hearts. Where do we start? The blessings are great. The forgiveness is constant. The love is never ending. The fullness lifts us up. Father, how in the world could we ever look at you and thank you enough? How in the world could we ever look around at the body of believers gathered here today and their hearts and their fullness and their desire to simply serve you and not say thank you enough? So thank you, Father. Thank you for your Son Jesus, what died on a cross. Because without Him, none of this would be possible. Thank you for giving us the chance to become caring and understanding of a heart made to teach Christ and the blessings that follow forward. We ask, Father, that you be with those who are not with us today. For whatever reason, whether they be traveling, whether they be sick, and lift them. Let them hear us praying to you. Let the Holy Spirit do its work. And for praises, for healing taking place, for tests that come back a certain way, make us breathe a little easier, for renewing of the body, thank you. And for those that live in the concern for loved ones, for what they have to face yet. Ask for your miraculous hand to go to work. You the great healer. You the great physician. You the person that teaches us all things. For this country, for this moment, Father, from when it became something of a colony to a country, I beg you, work within the hearts and minds of those who lead us to remind them that this country was founded upon the principles of Jesus Christ. That's it. No other thing. The Bible, the word you gave us, and the glorious hand and salvation of Jesus Christ. Turn us back to it. And thank you for those who serve. The list is forevermore long and full of emotion. Thank you for reminding us to remember them. Strengthen us now, Father, as we come together. Put our hearts and minds as one word as we pray the way Jesus would have us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Great. You know, it's funny. You don't see the little things. You don't know the little things until you pick up the phone and you go, Greg! And he shows a servant's heart. And so with Greg's help, I'd like to introduce you to someone I'll guarantee you only two people in this room know, and that's me and Greg. And his name is Joseph Brawls Tito. And he gave us something that's very interesting, and we made a little picture show for you. And then we're going to talk about it, but I wanted you to see it. It comes from an era forgotten. It comes from a time forgotten. It comes from something that was yesterday, was supposed to be remembered today and on into tomorrow. Take a look at these images as they roll through. What you're seeing is part of a book by a fellow by the name of Jan, I know I'm going to mess this one up, Kempinghauga. And he went on a search because of a story he had read of the monuments in Yugoslavia. And that's where these are all at. There are close to 100. These are 25 or 27 of the largest monuments made in the 60s and the 70s under then Yugoslav president Josip Broz Tito to remind Yugoslavians of their heritage and the atrocities committed to them during World War II. They were made as pride symbols to raise up the Yugoslav people. They were made as monuments to remind them. If you traveled that area today, you would see these. And before Yugoslavia dissolved in 1990 into smaller countries, you would see these monuments. They're called spomeniks. Spomeniks, which simply means, translates to monuments. They are made to immortalize World War II battles and concentration camps. And to this day, nobody can remember who built them, who designed them, or what they mean. And as you can see by some of them, they're starting to fall away. The things made of man to commit the deeds of man are starting to fall in disrepair. It has been estimated that in the next 20 years, most of them will no longer be standing. But to this day, nobody knows what they mean. The people that designed them are dead. The president is dead. The people that worked on them are dead. And nobody knows. In the 80s, in a time of national pride, people made pilgrimages to them. But those people have passed away. And now, hardly anybody goes to them. They are abstract objects made of microbes that look like huge crystals, deconstructed architecture. The only one that I know is that one, and that one's called Podgorica, and it's named after the village for that it oversees on a hill, but nobody knows anything else about it. The monuments have been completely neglected. The fellow that took these pictures got a hold of a map from 1975 and went to looking for them when they were still noted but not described. These are monuments that people spent a great deal in time in thinking about and designing, and nobody knows what they mean. Nobody. They don't even remember the names of them anymore. There are not plaques commemorating them. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at this one, it's such a no-account object that they put radio towers on top of it, of a national monument. All built by men. You see the graffiti on them. All built to remember something that took place yesterday that they would remember today and would carry them into tomorrow. Archaeologists that are trying to figure them out. Now, I say archaeologists, and we're used to thinking about them digging on stuff from thousands of years ago. People that are trying to figure them out have said that they may very well be Stonehenge one day, if they survive that long. Nobody knows. Thank you. Nobody knows. Nobody knows about what they mean. And that's how it goes. That's how we do things. We take this great time. Everybody gets all wound up about putting up a marker. There is a marker that is not too far from my house to commemorate the Battle of Monterey Gap. And the only way you can know that marker was there, and the Monterey Gap battle was fought during the Civil War, and it was a three-quarter day skirmish. And the only way that you can know that monument is there is that somebody told you about it. Because you see, you got to walk off the road and up a path, and then you got to get through the sticker bushes, and you got to put them out of the way, and you got to hope the bees ain't there to see a little plaque about that big that commemorates the Battle of Monument of Monterey Gap. And yet we have a monument that has stood for 2,000 years. Something that happened yesterday, something that we'll remember today, something that we will continue to remember tomorrow. Amen. We often get ourselves all wrapped up in the things here on earth, in the moment, in the now. One of the songs we just sang was, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. I've made the comment several times. Whenever my Uncle Leroy was cutting hair, Charlie went to see him one day to get his hair cut. And my Uncle Leroy Baker made the comment to him, well, good luck getting him to be in church when them tractor shows are going on. I love tractors. I love going to tractor shows. But my heart is here. Those things have dimmed over time. We gather together today to remember many things, but we need to remember the cross. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. Toward the back, please. First Peter, the second chapter, in the 21st verse. It'll take you a little while to follow that. I will give you a hint of it. It comes just before 2 Peter. Is that what it is, 1889? You spoiled it. They're supposed to work real hard to find it. In the 21st verse of 1 Peter, the second chapter, we read these words. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He left us an example. We honor him when we remember the cross. A memorial which was made yesterday stands for us today and will continue to be there tomorrow until that day that he comes to take us home. And then we'll have him. And the cross and the power will be fulfilled. This is Memorial Day weekend. I know what it means. Cookouts, lawn care, honey-do lists. If you stretched out my honey-do list, it'd go out the back door of the church. To date, I've completed two things on it. My favorite part is the cookout. Obviously, because it's my grill. Cook my way. But Memorial Day holds something very special. We honor those who fell in the service to the country. We honor those who served us who have gone on. And they didn't necessarily always wear stars and stripes. Some of them were just that person that led us to Christ or gave us that foundation. We honor those who have given out their lives rescuing us. We honor those who take that time to step in front of the trouble. I can't imagine it. Memorial Day started from Decoration Day. There are so many stories surrounding it, but the prevailing one seems to be that a friendship between General John Murray, a distinguished citizen of Waterloo, New York, and General John A. Logan, who helped bring attention to the event nationwide, was a likely factor. You see, on May 5th in 1868, in his capacity as commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, the Organization for Civil War Veterans, Logan issued a proclamation called Decoration Day and commanded that everyone should find a grave marker or find an area of those who served in that great war at that time and decorate it in memory of those who fought for a cause and passed. It was made to be observed for the first time on May 30th because that was the date chosen, not the anniversary of any specific battle. Events were held in 183 cemeteries in 27 states in 1868 and 336 in 1869. And the northern states quickly adopted the holiday. By 1870, we were celebrating it at Gettysburg and at Arlington National Cemetery. And by 2012, we've forgotten Memorial Day. All of us have at some point. All you can think about, my grass was this tall because I hadn't mowed it in 2 weeks because I busted the mower. Again, trying to fix it, I broke it again. And I wasn't able to get the grass done because I was working. And all I could think about was this weekend was hurrying up and getting all the parts for that mower and getting that grass mowed so I could see my children when they ran through it. And I did. And while I was getting ready to leave one of the parts stores on Saturday, I happened to see a guy ride by with a little banner on the back of his car that said, "Remember." And it reminded me that the memorials that we build to whatever we deem necessary won't last. Look at those pictures. You saw 25 or 7, I've never counted, monuments to something that happened somewhere that somebody did, and they decided in the 1960s and 70s to build these great memorials. And in the 1960s and 70s, and I was born in 67, which makes me 4 years old, and there's 44 short years later, they are forgotten about. And yet our cross constantly reminds us. Yes, I am turning Memorial Day weekend into something to remind us about Christ. I got picked on this week by one feller at work going, "Well, I guess all you preachers will be up in the pulpit this week turning Memorial Day weekend into something to do about Jesus Christ." I went, "Yeah, come on to church. I'll have a good time with you." He said, "No thanks." But it's the truth. We build all these great memorials. Our cemetery out here is an example of it. I encourage you to go out there and see the names of the children. Has everybody in here done that at least once? There is a marker, I can see it right through this window with all the children in front of it. And I forget how many it is, 7, 8, 9. How many is it, Glenn? Do you remember? You don't remember. See what I mean? How many, 9? All them children died within a space of 2 years, all from one family. And nobody knows anything about it, other than that they're there. But yet, that remains. That remains. We remember it. Peter was telling us to remember, to not forget. He was admonishing us to be submissive to the fact that we were called because Christ suffered for us. Suffered. Leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. And you know what? Almost everybody around you knows what that cross means, even if they hate it, even if they despise it, even if they don't believe in it fully, they'll still tell you. I've heard people say those words. Even those who hate it know it. Have you ever heard this statement made? "What's the cross mean?" Well, supposedly it means that fellow Jesus Christ died on that thing, and that's what the Christians revere. You ever heard that statement made? Even those who don't know it or believe it know it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was crucified on a simple cross, on wood banged together, where He was laid upon, raised up on a hill, because men thought they were going to make a memorial of that, and they did. They gave us the final key to remember the unlocking victory over death that Jesus Christ gave us. Amen. Flip over in your Bibles to Matthew 27, lest we forget just exactly what ...32nd verse. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, He refused to drink it. When they had crucified Him, they divided up His clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over Him there. Above His head, they placed a written charge against Him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Even they knew what we know. Even they saw, while they mocked it, they still knew what that monument was going to mean. I love seeing people where big old dangly crosses as part of some kind of get up. You know, these music singers nowadays, they usually wear a cross that's about that big and about that wide. And you often wonder, while they're sitting there singing about being drunk in the bar on Saturday night, and that thing's dangling around, do they get it? I have to laugh about that. There was a program on TV that I watched, and I probably shouldn't have because I can't stop laughing. This kid stole a car, and I say, kid, I don't know how old this kid was, but anyhow, he stole a car that the police had left out as a trap. And he got in the car and started to drive off, and they had a little button in their car, and when they watched him went by, they boop, hit the button, and the engine shut off, and the doors locked, and there he was. And they had a camera in there. And when they got him out of the car, he says, I didn't steal this, but in the movie camera, you were him going, yeah, look, I got a free car. And when they got him out of the car, he had on a tank top shirt, and he had tattoos up both arms, and he had a big cross on this arm, and he had a picture of Jesus on this shoulder. And I wished I could have asked him why. Friends, we shouldn't never forget. We shouldn't never allow ourselves to ever take that with complacency. This. It's beautiful that it hangs here. It's wonderful that it's here because it should be there as a reminder, not a decoration. This monument will stand till Jesus Christ comes back. Say amen if you believe it.
Amen.
This monument will constantly remind us when you've slipped off that path, when you've walked away for a moment, if you have learned it and you understand when you look at the blood that was shed on that and our Savior that died on that, that He spread His arms open and that He was set out there, that He loved you that much that He hung from that to die. That is a monument that will stand the test of time. And we remember. And because we can look at that and remember what Jesus Christ did, we can look upon those who in service gave their life. And we can pray for those who remember them. And we can pray for those who have passed. And we can pray our thanks to Jesus Christ for teaching us that, for giving us that example. Yes, I'm turning this all about into the cross on Memorial Day weekend. Because if you're going to go and remember, if you're going to be out there, I want you to remember those who have served us in all capacities. All of them. Because I'm here to tell you right now, I would make a horrible doctor. I would make a worse nurse. I don't even like changing my socks. And there are people that have given their lives on battlefields in those positions. Chris brought up a great point a little bit earlier. I need to go back and dig out that song about prayer being the greatest thing that the soldier of Christ can carry. I have to find that and dig it up. I would not do well as a firefighter. Oh, I'm not afraid to run into the buildings. I just couldn't get past the swirly lights on the truck. But there are people who do. There are people who say, I'm going to run in there and get you. There are police officers there who say, I'm going to protect you. There are ambulance drivers. There are workers everywhere who say, I am going to serve you even if it takes my life. And Jesus Christ hanging from the greatest memorial made yesterday, standing today, that'll be there tomorrow, said, I will give it all up for each and every one of you. And that's what that means. I can't think of anything more beautiful than when I think of that, can you? In Acts chapter 2, Peter was admonishing again. He wrote these words, Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, meaning you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was possible for death to keep its hold on him. That's the monument. That's the memorial. That song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," always gets me a little bit. Because when you take a look at that thing, you don't look at it normally. Not if you're a Christian. And then there's these words to the old rugged cross. "I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear." Have you ever listened to the words as you sing them? "Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share." That's a memorial to remember. Amen. As we approach this weekend, I ask you to take that moment and pray. Pray for those who have served this great nation and this country. Pray for those who are the families of those who have lost them in the service of this country in whatever capacity. But I encourage you to pray for those who know what that means and don't accept it, that they would find it before it's too late. That they would come to know the cross of Jesus, the memorial that stands yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, when we build something from steel and stone, concrete, it has a shelf life. It is not meant to last. It is meant to be something that serves us in today. Even though we want it from yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it will go away. Perhaps be forgotten about forever. But pray, Father, that the cross that means so much to us continues to be the light that guides us when we turn away back, when we feel that brother or sister slipping to lead them to or for that unsaved, lost loved one. Let us be that which holds on to them as they walk to its foot. Father, thank you for those who we know gave that ultimate sacrifice, including your Son Jesus, upon whose glory we bask and one day will be in presence of, now and forevermore. Amen. When we are singing today, when we are done singing, we're going to do something a little different. So I would ask that you would hang out with me for a moment, if you don't mind. And we're going to do a little something different. But as we sing this last hymn, if there is something upon your heart that you need prayer for, I invite you to come up. If you need strengthening or a walk back to that cross, I invite you to come up for that prayer.
We're going to change our final hymn to 327, "The Old Rugged Cross." So please stand. 327.
Love that old cross where the dear Lamb of God, lift his glory.